Employee Assembly, November 1st, 2006.
You could turn it around.
You did? Oh, I wish I would have seen that.
Put a couple
of
drinks in there
anyway.
What's the life?
Wonder, do we have anything here?
In the middle of the table, yeah.
All right. Should we get started?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll call the meeting to order. Are there any late additions to the agenda?
Yes. Update master plan material.
Okay.
Thank you.
And informal discussion and feedback from the campaign dinner.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. I'd like to take a minute. We have some folks in the gallery today that have faces that I don't recognize. So can we go around and start with you, so you know who you are?
I'm Diana Foster. I'm a
student
and I'm a new employee.
I guess. are we paying you? Because
yeah,
you would be an employee.
But mostly I'm here because I'm interested in we're doing a project on Cornell employment relations.
Uh-huh. Great.
Hey, Kelly Gold. We're not taking a
project. What's the class you're doing it for? I'm just curious.
Professor with Steve, collective bargaining 611.
Oh, that's great. What year are you guys in? What are you going to do next year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both of you.
Wow. Very impressive. Thank you.
Dennis, we know that. But you don't have a name thing, so other people.
Have a name.
He does? Put it on your lap with your pizza.
No problem.
Hi.
It's so nice that you came today. Yeah. Oh, Lisa just took them up.
For you.
All right. Let's Pat Mahoney. Has their name.
Oh,
you don't have a name.
Okay.
People know who you are?
I think we all know who
you
are.
Yeah.
Joel, could you grab my
So chair? That'll help you know who we are. I'm Donna Gosson. I'm the chair. And
we're all
so let's just jump right into the Chili Chat report. What did you got? Dennis, you like leaps out of your seat.
I just wanted to mention that Mary's on the phone with Provost Martin, and she'll be doing that directly.
So just to give the rest of you a little bit of background, the Employee Assembly last year, one of the initiatives that we had was to do these forums around campus, and basically we asked three questions of staff members, and they are, other than wages and benefits, what keeps you motivated at work? Number two is, what is the biggest obstacle to taking your vacation or using your vacation time? And number three was, how do you leave work at work while on vacation? We can make sure that you get copies of the reports. There were about 400 folks that participated in those forum, and we collected the responses and came up with this report and recommendations. So that's what we're doing here today in the review. One of the committees of the Employee Assembly Communications Committee is instrumental in putting this together. So I'd like to turn it over. Peter, do you want to kind of go through this? And
yeah, sure. Did you have a chance to read it at all?
I did. I already had to forgot to bring
it. Okay. Sure. Yeah, so I guess before we start, I can ask you if you had any comments or questions. If you just had a chance to read it, so maybe some questions about some of the finer points. We just have this, you know, summary on the front page about what it was about, and I think we had a chance to last week we talked about it, and we kind of gave you an overview of what it was about. We have, you know, summary of what it was about. We have analysis that just, you know, talks about our findings in just one short page, and all the charts and stuff are in the appendix, which have all the statistics that we found. We have a list of recommendations here for supervisors, administrators, and such, and, you know, recommendations that we'd like to have, you know, help in, either directly or just as the recommendations. And we have a rough timeline of how we'd like to carry them out.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think we talked about last time. It's very important that you did this. I congratulate you on getting it done at all. And I'm going beyond wages and benefits, which are obviously the centerpiece of many of our discussions, but I think it's very important that you went beyond it. When I was looking at this, Donna was nice enough to send this one day ahead so that I could look at it. And I was thinking about what's the appropriate process for me to have a response to this. Just for a moment. So the fact that this is, I'm assuming that I consider this a set of consensus recommendations from the elected leadership of the staff. Is that a safe assumption?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So then, because of that, not that we wouldn't take individual suggestions seriously, but the fact that it's a composite consensus recommendation of the staff means we're going to have to take this very seriously at the highest level of the university. I promise you we'll do that. Secondly, I appreciate the fact that you put a timeline on for implementation, which is helpful. Thirdly, although I think this is primarily an employee-generated exercise, an employee-generated set of recommendations, to really make it happen, we'll have to involve the supervisors buying into it. I mean, obviously you understand that. And as I was looking at it last night, I was thinking about the various kinds of supervisors, those that have significant experience as employers, those who don't have significant experience as employers, people who run research labs, and they get a grant and all of a sudden from day one to day two they become employers, whether or not they have any HR experience. And so I know because Mary is so, Mary Haberman is so supportive of the idea of doing this, that she'll have recommendations for all of us in the central administration of the university about exactly how to go from here. But one thing is that you mentioned recommendations made to administrators and trustees. And it seems like, in addition, I was thinking there should be some way for this communication to get to the campus in general, so that many, many, many direct supervisors who would have to do things like understand the new communication devices at home, those kind of things, would be supportive of it, or if there was some reason people were not supportive, that we'd have a dialogue. So my first question is, how does that communication occur? Mm-hmm. That is, how does the greater part of campus, even though this represents you know, a large number of employees, how does the rest of the campus, those staff, the service supervisors, those faculty, service supervisors, how do they get word about this?
We plan to put the report online on the website, and we're going to email all the people on our employee assembly listserv and through the paw print and, you know, whatever means we can to advertise the report. And then, you know, when we carry out the recommendations, there's a couple of things, ways we're going to do it, you know, both of which we're going to talk about. The first way we're going to kind of reach out to the supervisors is by having a forum next winter, which we don't really talk about other than the timeline briefly, a forum for supervisors, which will be similar to the ones we have for staff, except more focused on going over the what we found with the staff, kind of giving supervisors recommendations about how they can improve communication and you know, fix whatever might be lacking in their departments. We're going to ask them the same questions we ask staff, except in reverse, like how do you help your staff take vacation time, how do you encourage communication, so we can get some ideas and have them kind of help each other out with that, with the ideas that they use. And then we'll have just like a half-hour session where we're just going to talk back and forth with them, where they might ask those questions and we'll give them more recommendations. And we're hoping to have Mary there again. She's always good at making suggestions and talking with staff and supervisors.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I missed that line in the timeline. So that's really important. Secondly, the faculty who serve as PIs on grants, and faculty who serve in administrative positions in colleges, academic areas. Will they be considered an importance for supervisors? How does the word get out to the faculty and the campus? And the reason I ask about that is I'm assuming here, like in most campuses that I've experienced with, that most of the staff work in colleges, numerically. So are they included in this thinking? Is that wrong?
No, I'm thinking about Steve Golden's education. There are also a lot of people that work in the administration, the operations side of things. So,
okay.
I mean, that's a really big
Yeah, I'm thinking about an entity like CALS, if you include everybody who works for anybody who has anything to do with CALS. But whatever it is, it's a large number, whether it's the majority or not. So would they be figured into such a...
Well, they would have access to our reports and findings and recommendations. But I think at the time, for that particular forum, which you want to really focus on supervisors and managers, individual departments. And we may do something for faculty specifically later on, but I think our plan for this event was focused on staff, supervisors, and managers.
Okay. I would love to learn sometime how that breakdown is, how many non-faculty employees are in the colleges versus the administration. Just because I think that these things, not here because I don't know enough to know, but other places that I've been, tend to focus, like you said, here on maybe the supervisor. And if a really large portion of staff are working for people other than that, then we just have to figure out how to discuss it. But the last thing is, I hope Mary will be able to come because I have a lot of respect for her opinion on the professional HR aspect. We ought to find a way for this, a summary of this report to be presented to the senior staff group in some way so that, I guess this is a fair statement, that everybody in the university who's an employee reports to somebody sitting around their table.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
So all the colleges report somehow eventually to Biddy and Golding, et cetera, and Susan Murphy. So then you'd right away have the people at the top aware of what it was, where you thought there might be bumps in the road. Is there a plan to do that?
Yeah, the other thing I was going to bring up, the first was the chat. The other thing was also that we wanted to have a message sent from you or Mary, someone really high up.
Sure.
Because I think the supervisors are most likely to pay attention to the message we send if it comes from someone at the top. Because if we send out the message, they might look at an interest, but they might not really choose to implement our recommendations. But if it comes from someone at the top, we're hoping it'll have a stronger weight to it.
Yeah, of course, I'll be glad to do that. And can we also talk to Mary? If I happen to miss her today because of the phone call, and I know you guys interact with her a lot, maybe you could just ask that she and Donna, or depending on the timing of it, or you, Peter, could figure out a time to have this presented at a senior staff meeting.
I think you have the power to invite us if you'd like to do that.
Well, the way I do it, I want you to come for sure, but in all seriousness, the way I like to work that group is that I ask the people in the group to set the agenda, just like I follow your agenda here. And so I want the timing of it to be effective, that you come at a time where we have enough time to discuss it and so on. So you're right, I am inviting you, but I want you to talk to her and figure out the timing of it. And who should come and how many might want to get across. So if we could do that, and if I could get information about the number of staff who are reporting to collegiate officers, who are, I'm thinking, are not in this forum for supervisors, we can be sure that at least the word gets out appropriately to those areas. So otherwise, I just congratulate you for getting it done. And the real work will be in making it happen.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it. Okay.
Great.
And there's just one last point about we want to make. Did you want to bring it up? Or?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Looks like a setup, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it is kind of setup. Because in order to carry out the...
For your project, this is called a setup.
in order to carry out the supervisor's forum, so it would help if we had some budgetary kind of help from either HR or the president's office or anywhere, because we're kind of strapped this year. And last year, the church jobs were immensely successful, but they're also very expensive for us. So you might not be the first to talk about this.
Well, let's do it yet while we're together today. As soon as Mary comes in, let's ask her. And what were the expenses that it covered?
Actually, Pat, maybe you can help answer that.
It was in excess of $6,000 just to cover the chili tab. And
okay.
Our annual budget is about $94,000.
And what did the money go for, though? What did the $6,000 cover?
A lot of it went for food because of
refreshments. Yeah, okay.
And rotation. This year won't cost as much. We have only 3 forms plus 6, so it might cost a little over half that, so maybe $3,000 or $4,000.
Okay. I'm sure we can find a way to do it. Let's just figure out from where.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to particularly recognize the members of the communications committee that worked so hard on this report, but also wanted to say that every employee assembly member participated in these and helped facilitate these forums and was really involved in this project. So here it is. Here's our final product. Yeah. Thank you. Did anybody else want to, Peter Kunder monopolized the conversation with us. But did anybody else?
You guys get along with each other.
want to add anything to that? I mean, when we were at the forums, we heard an awful lot of comments and feedback about things, and so this would be a good time to talk about that. I know in the ComCom meetings we talked a lot about how to get the word out and how we would help to disseminate this information and who needed to hear it. And
my own mind summary, I think employees that work here enjoy where they work, they enjoy what they do, they enjoy the people they work with. So I don't think that's the issue. Mm-hmm. I think it's the commitment and the guilt they feel when they leave because of, passing their work on to the next person.
I know that really was an interesting statistic, the guilt part. People felt guilty for taking vacation, they felt guilty for burdening their coworkers while they were away, the guilt thing.
Often those kind of unsubstantiated, it's simply lack of communication. They never bother to talk to their coworkers or supervisors, and they just automatically start feeling guilty. So
communication planning would be a big, big improvement for everyone.
One of the things that Opperman and I have talked about in the past is this more general term of climate, work climate, mm-hmm. of which this is one part of how I would say it's part of a work climate. That is, how do people feel they're considered valuable members of the team? Are they valuable enough to be, for them to be worried about their overall, psychological health and physical health, and so on and so forth? And for a longer term issue, for the future, I'd just like to introduce the idea that I have already talked to Mary Opperman about at some point, by continuing to do surveys of different aspects of the employee climate. Just an answer to that. As an incoming chair, can I just like talk to you? That'd be good because. just hoping for better things. But here's the thing I was thinking about. Usually, climate surveys that I've been associated with that are employee-wide climate surveys, both faculty and non-faculty employees, tend to focus on regulatory issues or human rights issues. So climate for violence in the workplace, sexual harassment, mm-hmm. sexual assault, those kind of things. And always you have to cover the regulatory framework, obviously, for all kinds of reasons, for legal reasons, and because hopefully those regulations were developed in response to real human needs, not just arbitrarily. So I'm assuming that we will always deal with that in some way or other because of EEOC reports and things like that. And this is a very, very impressive organization because of your involvement as a Mary's professional staff. Why the employment system here gets awards again and again, this Working Mothers thing, which was amazing. To the only, if I got it right, I think just two universities out of 100 organizations. So it's a fantastic thing. But there's a lot of other less sort of squishier issues, if you want to put it that way. They're not regulatory or legal in nature that really affect the workplace. And this is a great example of that. This is not something you're ever going to find in an EEOC report or anything like that, right? It's a very, it's almost a hard to define concept, People feel guilty. And now that you walk around where everybody has cell phones and get each other's cell phones, you really can almost never get away mm-hmm. from things unless people decide you're going to get away from them. So the question is there a way, a crisp way, where the results could mean something and could be acted on to evaluate other aspects of campus climate for employees, both staff and faculty? And Mary has some great, well, here she is. I'm just about to say something nice about opportunity.
Oh, go right ahead.
Mary has some really, some interesting ideas about that. And I wonder if some future time we're together, if we could talk about it and hear Mary out on those issues, because I think this is a step in that direction, unless I'm misinterpreting it. I think it's an important step in that direction. Can I just tell you what I was talking about? I'm so glad you got here, because I got to leave in 10 minutes, and I wanted to make sure that we overlap.
Okay.
Peter reviewed the bottom line of the Chili Chat, and we had talked about the ways of getting word to the actual employers. I asked them if I could learn from you or some leadership here, what proportion of the staff of the non-faculty employees work with colleges as opposed to non-collegians. And I'm assuming a very large proportion work with colleges. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, and how we would get the word to those people, like to the deans and department heads, who, if that's true, are supervisors in a larger sense, not immediate supervisors. And just to catch you up, I also asked that they work through you on timing to bring the bottom line stuff to the senior staff group, since everybody in the university works for somebody around that table.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing I was just mentioning is that I was complimenting them on the idea that this issue of guilt and feelings of or regret about being away from work and being cut off on purpose, you know, so you can have some down, some mental health time, is an example of a non-regulatory climate issue, if you buy that. Not an EEOC issue, not that kind of a human rights thing, but that's very important for the employee climate. And I was just about to say that I thought you had some very good ideas about future ways of evaluating other aspects of the employee climate. That this was just one example of that. And then I said some other nice stuff about you and your organization.
If you want to go into detail, you can
No. Okay. No, I don't think they were. I don't think they were. No, nobody was surprised by them. So anyway, that's as far as we got in the discussion. So
So over half of the non-exempt are in the academic staff. Over half of the non-academic staff are in the college.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense because the colleges have gotten so enormous here and so varied. One last question I had, and then I can go on with the Steve Pizza. Tell me again any interaction between this body and any similar body at Weill. Is there any formal linkage or interaction?
No, it's just something that Donna and I have been talking about. There isn't isn't a similar group, and so I, in my work at Medical College, have this on my agenda to discuss with their administratively about whether we might want to invite somebody from Weill to come here, or whether they'd like to have a group of their own, or but Don and I were going to introduce that conversation.
So you guys are way ahead of me. I think it's really important to consider it. And I would also consider the hospital, even though the hospital doesn't belong to Cornell University, the employment linkages between Weill and the hospital are like this, like in every academic health center.
And this is what you're getting to was the reason we worked so hard to get the president's address accessible. It's just a website now, people can go there and see the president's address. Initially, there was no way to contact people. First time we reached out was a television set, smaller than that one, sitting in the auditorium in Geneva. We had a hard line to that. Now we're on to the technology of the web, so any corner that anywhere can
see. So you guys are already thinking about this. I think it's a really important thing to think about. And so everywhere other than Weill, is it right that all other employees in the university, anywhere else they might be, are represented here? Geneva? No. This is just
everything. It became this engineer.
Yeah, the Arecibo is covered through the research area. They have their own very special issues.
And employees, it's a small issue, but employees like in the Cornell and Rome program or in Singapore and Hotel School, are they theoretically represented by you all?
Theoretically. Mm-hmm.
But we could visit.
And
so that they would feel more connected.
I can go tomorrow.
Yep. The group's been difficult to handle. So glad you're here. But I might just. Hey, you've had a hard day. Why don't you have some more pizza? Thank you. I will.
There was one thing, as far as I wanted to make a comment on the Chili Chat itself. There were two points that I found very important, very interesting. And one was that the staff was so, I think, excited about actually having an opportunity to speak.
it was so encouraging that they were willing, and not, there was not as much negative response. My fear when we initially started this project was that we were going to be a whipping post. There was not a lot of negative when we went out there. And that's really what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tendency to look for the worst. And I was surprised with how excited they were to respond to us and give us their feedback. And I was very encouraged with that. The thing that did concern me, however, was how the students were not listed high. They were not ranked high with their concerns. And
oh, the contact with students.
The contact with students was not relatively high in their responses. And it just made me question how can we increase that? I mean, that's why we're here.
Yeah, we had a great conversation about that in ComCom. Andre, you were there for that piece of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you know, we're an academic institution.
Right.
And we're here, you know, to place of higher learning, and
mm-hmm.
there are students, and yet so much of the, you know, operations and administration, you know, side of the house doesn't get to
exactly
get contact with students, and that was a really low percentage.
Like
yeah,
the thing was not a big concern.
It was not, it
even
was
though
not
you thought
about
it,
yeah, it just wasn't the motivation for being here, and that really it shocked me that.
I think one of the things that we talked about in respect to that is that wasn't, it was kind of like a side detail, like we noticed it. But
right.
since that wasn't the focus of the actual questions, we thought, if I recall correctly, that it would bear future, you know, investigation at some point in time. Because we didn't really know why that was. I mean, it could have been the phrasing of the questions or the important, attention that was put on the other issues
mm-hmm.
and not on that issue.
Right.
So it's hard to know how to weight that.
But
it's interesting.
That's their job.
Yeah,
right.
Working with students
is
their job.
I had another perspective. I think the way we didn't get into the negative part of it, again, was because of the talent and the professionalism of Mayor Drew. Whenever a negative question got asked, she handled it in a way that it didn't procrastinate and carry on to anybody else. So planning it and having her be the key person to answer the question was very important. And we have a timeline. And again, because of the way she handled every quorum, I think that's why I would catch it out of a negative.
It reminds me of something else that Peter brought up earlier before you came, and that is when the bottom line is distilled to the extent that there's a message ready to be sent out to the campus, then yes, could we be the ones to send it? Or maybe if I could extrapolate what you said, or do it jointly with the leadership of the NEA or something like that, so people would.
I think that there are certain messages about how leadership takes in and thinks about time off that need to come from the most senior parts of the campus, from the deans and the president and the vice presidents, because it tends to drive from unspoken beliefs. You know, my dean's always here, my dean's here on Saturday, my dean doesn't take vacations, maybe that means that I shouldn't let people in my organization take them either.
I think Mary will verify and confirm that in yesterday's senior staff meeting, at the end of a difficult, you know, sort of intense meeting, I told everybody we just had a very intense time the weekend, and everybody took some downtime. And then as soon as I got home, I gave them more stuff to do. For the rhetoric.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, right. The other thing is that we've been looking at employee surveys and climate surveys, and I talked with the senior vice president from Clorox, who's actually a quite accomplished woman, and she led me towards, this goes to Beth's point, surveys on what's called employee engagement
mm-hmm.
to the mission, which is the new business design for surveys. And it really does help you to tease out why some employees engage in the primary missions of their organization and why they don't, and what programming and changes you can make that will help people feel more engaged. So, you know, when we look at the issue of, you know, do people really feel motivated by the students, we could get more information through that kind of a survey.
just to be selfish before you guys leave, I just want to remind you, you know, about asking if you can help.
Hi, Ed. Nice to see you. This is one of these you can never get away
from. And do you want a cookie before you go?
Oh, thank you.
Piece of pizza?
No, thank you.
Chili chip summary. She's certainly going to be distracted, but I'll be right there. I'll be right there.
Before you get out, I'm going to about, you know, getting help from HR.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were talking about monetary support for the continuation. They have to, they have to have to raise last year.
Excuse me?
Money.
Money? We're asking the Office of Human Resources for money to do what?
For the forum supervisory chest next winter.
Their estimate, if I'm not misstating it, is it cost $6,000 last year, and they thought that it might be half that amount this year.
Okay.
I'm sure we can find the money somewhere, but I didn't know where.
Okay.
Half
is fine for sure. Sure. Yeah,
yeah,
well,
David was sure.
Okay.
I think that one of the many ways that we might also be able to reach faculty, at least within my college, the dean has all faculty meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And at his last one a few days ago, there's a report on Asian and Asian American students here at Cornell, very concerned about high suicide rates and other matters. But anyway, at that meeting, I told him I wanted faculty to really be aware of this report. So Professor Derek Chang and Wei Wong, Wei is at Gannett, and Professor Derek Chang is from the College of Arts and Sciences. But anyway, they were invited in and they gave this great report. So the faculty is more aware now of things that, you know, how they can better relate to Asian and Asian American students. So. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that that's a way. I don't know if the other six colleges and schools, I would imagine they also have all faculty meetings with their dean, but that's a way so you don't have to reinvent another session, if you will, another meeting, to just take advantage of one that already exists.
Also, I was going to talk about this with each of the governance groups that I meet with, and I might as well start with you all. One other thing that we did at Iowa, and like all these ideas, I'm just bringing them up for you to consider, is once in a while, not as frequently as I met with staff leadership or the student leadership or the faculty leadership, I always had those meetings, for example, with the HR professional, with Mary's counterpart, or the student meetings with Susan Murphy's counterpart, or the faculty meetings with the provost. Once in a while, it might have been, I'm trying to remember the periodicity, maybe once a year, or once a semester at the most, we had a meeting with those professionals, so here it would be Murphy, Opperman, and Dean Martin, and the incoming elected representative of the three groups.
Oh, really?
In other words, that there was a tradition of the groups meeting separately, not with me and not with Mary, Susan, or Biddy. They had their own sort of like university assemblies or whatever you call it. But we just started doing that once in a while. I don't even think it was actually a regular thing. It was like when people thought it would be a good idea, we would just have a tiny meeting. So it was the most senior rep from each of the three groups and the professional, the senior administrator of each of the three groups. And so you should just think about it. I'm willing to do it if you think it would be helpful.
Like an expanded leadership.
David, I'm not sure you're aware, we do have a monthly meeting we call Leadership Breakfast, and it's the leadership from all four of these assemblies, and it might be, you know, it's a large group, though, and that might be too large.
It used to be that the leadership groups included all of them. They don't now.
Okay.
So we might want to
just for consideration, once in a while, to have the three groups together is good too. You carry each other's water.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about what you were saying, Leon, about the faculty hearing the non-faculty employees' concerns. But then I have to tell you, in terms of where the rubber meets the road, if you have those meetings without the senior professionals who do it, then you have to have another meeting and get the word across to that. So just consider it. I'm willing to go if you want to do it. You could also do it without me, just with the three groups together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm willing to do it. And I think people found it once in a while useful. Not to do it just to say we did it, but there was something. And it can go in the opposite direction. Maybe some faculty issue or some student issue that you might not bump into just because you're not eating, living, and breathing that existence. Anyway, I'm going to have to go. I'm sorry to leave early, but you can keep Mary's if you want.
Well, actually, I'm going to follow you, but I'm going to come right back.
Ultimately, it sounds like, you know, we've kickstarted something that we all wanted to do, was this whole bonding experience, you know, between, you know, other elements of staff and with the senior administration. And I think it really, with the idea of doing the supervisors, chili chats or whatever we're going to call them, you know, taco talks or 6,000 supervisors, it's good. We're good at them. That's important, but I think also to keep a long-term vision with this is something we ought to start getting going in the back of our minds about what comes after the supervisor. And maybe Mary has some ideas about how we do that, but I think that sort of engagement is where we fall in perfectly. We're a natural at doing that, and that'll only strengthen what we do, and it'll improve relations with the staff immensely.
Yeah. So great. I think Hazel and I, the next time we meet with Mary, we'll bring up the issue of the senior staff meeting. They meet monthly, I believe, so figure out the timing of that, because that seems cheap. That was like that. A date, yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question. In thinking about all the work that you've done and said that really great precedent, although you guys work great and you're going to follow through on this, you are still an elected body. Mm-hmm. And many years down the road, none of you might be here. Is there a way that you can incorporate, maybe change your charter to include a way of requiring UDA that you report like this on a regular basis?
Yeah, I mean, it's not traditionally the role of the outgoing assembly to require the incoming assembly to do any particular thing. You can make those recommendations, you know, and say this is what we started last year and this is, you know, what we're hoping the EA continues to focus on. But we must remember, too, that half of the membership stays the same. Mm-hmm. So it's only half that's changing from year to year. Mm-hmm. But
I'm thinking like 10 years from now, it would be great to see another report like this or survey done. And I don't know if there's any way to
help encourage
that.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure, go ahead.
I think the set of the initial chat and we continue to success with working with supervisors, and we continue to work with the staff in this venue or in similar venues. I don't see the employee assembly stopping. We may change how we address the staff. We may choose not to do it in the same type of form. We may change our forum. We may change our style. But I don't think that we should have a going to stop randomly in 10 years. I see actually progressing maybe even into a better system, possibly. I don't think it's going to end. I think this actually is going to kick off something that is kind of wonderful. The EA kind of stalled out for a few years there. And I think this is the beginning of something wonderful. And I hate to see us
You know, although the assembly membership might change, we have Mary. You know, we
and
have
apparently
Tommy.
I'm never.
You know, you're yes. He'll be here for 10 years for sure. So you know, we do have those folks in senior administration. If we do this and go about it the right way, and they see our good work. Well, hopefully they'll encourage.
If we can come up with a, and I believe that we can, a climate survey, that those are longitudinal. I mean, they're done, they don't have any values. They're not done over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things that we've learned, we can incorporate into our questioning, mm-hmm. and then you get, you know, then you get regular survey data on the topic.
Well, I'm going to maybe add or restate, or at least I think it bears restating a little bit, that what I think David is also saying is that our attention, well, our success, first of all, from the Chile chat should be extended. Maybe 5 years from now or 4 years from now, it doesn't take the shape of a survey or a Chile chat, but that we somehow... pardon the expression of the word, inbreed into our organization this continued effort of reaching out to find out what employee and staff are actually thinking, giving them real interface with us and with senior staff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it is. But, you know, what happened with the EA was that they were so event-focused for so long that it was more about, you know, sponsoring those type of things and participating in those and making sure that people were happy and had, you know, sports Saturday to go to, which, you know, those are all great, but they weren't issues focused, and that's what's happened in the last couple of years when, you know, I've been chair. So because we decided to focus on that. I mean, I think that's why you elected me chair, because that was what I said I wanted to do and what I thought the group where we should go, and so I'm thinking that's why you elected me. So now we're there, and now that ball is rolling, I mean, I would hope that everybody on this committee is liking that, and we would continue in that direction, like, even if I'm not chair, which apparently Dr. Burton is looking forward to people being there.
There you go.
Well, you know why. Did he explain that? That's because in Iowa, the vice chair ascends to the chair. So
no,
they're
no.
just there. They have a succession plan that does that. So it wasn't anything about anybody. It's just the way they move. They always move their vice chair to chair. Okay, he did explain that.
No, I didn't.
No, that's why. That's just the design of their leadership.
Yeah,
fired. That's all. Yes, they have terms. They have a number of terms you can be renewed, and then your vice chair ascends, and then the chair stays as past chair. So their chair, I think, for 2 years.
Like the ghost of Christmas past. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then they go to past. Then they go to, well, actually, that's pretty common, I guess, on some groups, that the past chair holds the leadership for another 2 years, and then so you have this, like, continuum, and then the vice chair goes to the vice chair, chair, the past chair, and they circle that way. So you have this long process of keeping the same people.
And then that kind of goes back to what Dave was saying, too. Yeah.
Sounds like what you said, and Brett.
Indeed.
All right. Anything more on the Chile chat you want to cover?
No, you don't have to.
No. But did you have anything that you wanted to share? Because I think about you.
No.
But do you want to see our agenda? Because maybe you don't want to stay.
I should ask you.
I don't need to do anything. Here you go. So Michael's not here, so we won't get a trustee report, although there were lots of trustee meetings last week. So we'll ask him to report on that next time. But there were a bunch of discussions that went on last week that were really good. So should we kind of take care of, let me see, we have minutes to approve. I'd like to kind of get that out of the way first, because we've been negligent and getting notes. So can we
can I just ask one question about
that? Sure, sure you can.
Do they need to be so detailed? 9 pages a minute? We've never had quite such. They're perfectly fine in my opinion. I've just never seen minutes that are quite so verbatim.
kind of scared to see what you actually said.
Well, no, I'm not. I just kind of had a chuckle when I read that I said, we don't have the money, we don't have the money. I'm kind of used to a discussion call-in.
So,
I personally like the long minutes because I wasn't at that meeting. I was away at a conference.
Okay.
So I know all the details that happened to the meeting. I like it like that.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Okay. Okay. Compromise the bid to allow for the opt out, like trying to be anonymous at the meeting for minutes or something.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Or you can do that at time when you're going to approve them. You can strike them. Because it's hard to take the minutes and
Okay.
And two, I mean, are these the minutes that we're publishing on the web also?
I believe Amy made some of the updates that were requested by email.
Uh huh.
So.
The whole report, the whole minute. Thank you, Mary.
Sorry.
Oh no, it's okay.
Like keeping
do you want a cookie? Take a cookie with you.
I'm all set.
Right. Bye, Mary.
Growing back.
I did have two comments on the minute. One is that the leadership of each assembly varies in their expectations for the minutes, and that changes the leadership changes as well. So there's flexibility there.
I was just curious.
And the other thing is, if you would like to view the verbatim, you may also get it online from the website now.
So they're not posted until they're approved, right?
Well, the audio is.
The audio is posted before, but the audio of the entire meeting is posted on the web.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm.
We stopped the recorder if there's an executive session.
No. I was just wondering because we don't publish the minutes until after they're approved. At least that's been our experience.
My understanding was that was because we want them to be, you know, if there's a mistake or something, they want to be exploded.
The written would have to be approved because it's the person's interpretation of what happened. The audio is what happened. There's no changing.
There's
what
no approving. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the issues brought up here was 9 pages, and maybe. I don't know, Peggy, if you can relate what other boards would do. I mean, do they look over 9 pages of minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm curious too. Historically, going back a number of years, it was the standard. In fact, they were even more detailed. Although I don't think more detail is necessary, but I think enough context to give you an idea, especially if you weren't at the meeting. Has always been an important factor. So, yes, we encourage a little bit more detail.
Was there a different format for some of them, like putting the resolutions first? Because I've been in groups where the motions and resolutions came first, so you could just see what they were, and then the discussion. It wasn't within the body of the text in the minutes. You know?
For organizations to get that kind of information, I would recommend looking at the website because we do lay things out differently on the website. All the attachments for minutes are being posted on the website now. So what resolution was discussed, what the text of the resolution was on the day it was discussed. And then also for each of the actions of the assembly, there's a detailed...
Separate from the minutes that are put up. Okay.
With links to the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly share my thoughts, too.
Yeah,
I think the 9 pages are great. I think that if somebody's going to summarize, then whose summary is it?
Right.
You know, if I'm going to summarize, let it be my summary, because then somebody will go back and say, well, we didn't quite say it that way. Just put out what's out there. I mean, 9 pages to read, you know what I'm saying? I don't see the big deal.
Okay, so can I have a motion to approve the minutes? No, we can do one at a time in case there are changes.
Was the word no change to not?
Yes.
Second the motion.
Well, no, I didn't make the motion.
Did you make it or you didn't?
I was going to.
Go ahead.
Are we ready? Mm-hmm. We're approving them separately.
Yes, please.
So the September 20th, I make a motion that we approve the minutes with amendments by Leon through email and corrected by Hazel and distributed.
Okay, any further discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, so the September minutes are approved. Can I ask you to continue?
And I would also make a motion that we approve the October 4th minutes with no amendments that I know of.
Second.
Okay, any discussion there? Okay, so the minutes for October are approved. Thank you. And Beth, thank you for your comment. Okay, thanks. I wanted just to get that business out of the way. All right, so we'll go to old business. Financial report. You know, okay.
I wasn't sure what I needed to do.
It's okay. No, it's all right. Remind me what your last correspondence was to the committee, though. We have the budget.
That's the budget. So you want me to talk about budget?
Yeah, can we talk for the budget piece? Because I want to make sure that you have everything that you need for that, because it's now November 1st. So.
I do have all the information that I need. However, Peggy and I have had some discussion, and she has shared some information with me as far as how other assemblies pull their budgets together. The information that she provided me was excellent.
Oh, good.
And I for this year's budget, which basically is done.
Mm-hmm. You have $3,000 more.
Now we have $3,000 next.
Thank you.
We're going to leave this budget alone. We're going to let this one fly, but we are going to need to prepare now for next year's budget. And the format that Peggy shared with me is the way to go.
Great.
I'm very impressed with it, and I will be sharing that with you.
I can't take credit. I think it came from
student assembly, I think.
Their boss or a student put it together, which is the same process that you folks are doing. They have some money for which they have authority to spend, and we're asking all the assemblies who have money to spend think about how they'd like to spend it, because it helps us manage money for you as a board.
But the thing that I found that was really kind of light years away from how we've been doing it is the level of detail that is involved with each budget submission. So
on the line, exactly.
Well, they're not necessarily line items, but each line item has its own justification.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, if we wanted to do a forum, we would have a specific breakout for food and for
and that's important for us, because if we want to try to get more money for the things that we do, then that helps to justify it. So, great.
So I will be working with Peggy and, of course, the EA to pull this together for next year.
Well, can you give us an idea of the chronology when you need for next year's budget?
We need to be talking now. Mm-hmm. For next
What's the drop dead date? I mean, when do the budget for next year have to be submitted by you?
Yeah, budgets, actually, preliminary requests for FY08 are going in now.
Oh.
So I would say that, you know, it would be good by the beginning of December to have at least a ballpark. And if you think you want to ask for more, what are you getting now, $9,400?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to ask for more, then we need to know that, because I will submit that as part of my overall budget for what I ask out of the division. So EBG, or whatever they're calling it now, is happening now.
Still EBG.
Executive budget group.
Because some of the things, like for the outreach, I mean, that's, we haven't hardly even discussed that, and we talked about having satellite meetings, and I came up with some numbers about what I think it might cost, but experientially, we don't even know. So
exactly.
I'm going to be moving ahead on the following year's request, not even knowing if those numbers are even enough.
Inaccurate, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, we can do projections. We don't have to have everything in black and white.
Well, as long as that's what's understood.
Yeah, kind of like bubbles, pockets of money, not detail, not heavy detail at this point.
And just so everyone knows, the information that I received from everyone to put this budget together, our total budget request is $17,000.
Yeah.
and it's not happening.
We don't
so
have that.
It's not a possibility. Peggy right. and I have spoken. So we, a lot of the recommendations or a lot of the proposals that were made, we're not going to be able to follow through on. And I was planning to communicate that with each of the chairs of the committees, that we have to stay with the 94 for this year. We can't do more than that. That's why we need to start now
yeah.
to look for next year's budget.
But going forward, though, we'll have a little bit of room because theoretically we're going to get some money for the soup, salad, and supervisors. So, and, you know, so that's money we wouldn't be spending out of that entire budget, correct?
Well, true, but that'll be for finishing the 06 budget. That's going to fall in this budget year.
Not next year.
We're talking 07, 08.
Well, you okay. never know.
Well, it will true. I don't know.
We'll get sick next year.
Is it your plan to do that in the spring? Or, you know, sometime in the
okay. spring, right?
And get so that would come out of there.
Yeah. I mean, that was in our timeline.
That would be in addition to your 9,400 that you have. So that would be okay.
Yep. So how many years has EA had 9,400?
Ooh.
And isn't it time to... If you want to do
it
some
is.
Other things, isn't it time to increase that number?
We're working it.
Actually, it was larger than that. Mm-hmm. It was 10,700, I
yeah,
believe.
Yeah,
right. When I first came on board seven years ago.
It was more money.
And
that's because
it
less was done?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that's what happened.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was difficult to justify.
Yeah, it wasn't
yeah,
being
we
used.
Spending it.
It wasn't
yeah.
being
you know,
used.
And sorry, you know, and that's why it's so important to have an idea of how you want to spend your money because then you don't get cut. Because if you say, well, we
sure.
just wanted to keep it. Now, you know, the good thing is I haven't taken it away. And, you know, I would roll it over. I believe it rolls over if you had it.
Uh-huh.
I'm still trying to figure some of this stuff out. But either way, if you can justify and say this is what we want to do and this is how much money it costs, and we bring that forward as part of the budget process, it's a slam dunk. You know, it's there.
Right.
As long as it's all approved.
Right.
Okay. Any more?
So I guess the bottom line is I am going to go back to everyone, and a lot of the information that I have been provided with for this year's budget, we're going to have to figure out for next year.
Okay.
We're just
can we just take a moment? And cause I'm not sure I totally understand the chronology. Does everyone here get when she says fiscal year 06, what time frame we're looking at? Or
well,
yeah.
last year.
Okay.
We're looking at
so
July 1, 05 to June 30th, 06.
Right.
It's 1 year.
And that's done and over with.
Right.
Right.
Now and the numbers
July
you got from us that you requested from us were for this year that we're currently in.
Right.
Okay, which was mixed anyway because we're back to the numbers that
exactly.
we had from the previous year.
But I should have gotten the information from this by July or August, and we kind of all fell short on that. So
mm-hmm.
that's why I'm saying we need to start now.
So that 9,400, just so that we're clear, that's up to us to decide how we're going to divvy that up at the moment, right?
Well, we have a preliminary budget for that with a lot of additions that bring us up to 17.
Right.
We have commitments that we've had every
yeah.
year, like Unity Day and Employee
right.
Family Day. And
understood.
Okay, so those are the kind of things we really have to set aside, and we can't touch that money. But if we have money left over and we haven't done things that were already in this budget, like you know, employee recognition dinner, for instance, we can use those dollars. I guess the goal is by the end of the fiscal year, we should have this money back to zero.
All right.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that, you know, that even though we have a verbal commitment for the money for the supervisor, that it doesn't end up coming out of our budget because we didn't use it because we were told we couldn't use it because there wasn't enough room in the budget. So I want to make sure
you.
That doesn't happen to us.
I hear you. And I think we got that today.
I think
they committed that $3,000.
Okay. Any more?
Nope.
I just want to say before we have 10 minutes left, I know that there's a meeting in here at 1:30, so we're going to have to end promptly so that we can also tidy up before the folks come in. With that, we'll move to the
email voting table for next time because the attachment that was sent out, I think is not the most current version, so I have to talk to Christine.
Okay, speaking of...
And that's the other issue,
gone.
Too, is that she's no longer an employee of the university. So if anyone has a job that you can offer her, because we couldn't suspend the charter to keep her on, we looked at ways to do that, and it didn't work.
So, as IMC chair, are we...
Which means we have one slot open here, plus we have a need for a parliamentarian, and someone already has stepped up, but we can...
Okay, so should we ask for anybody who has nominations for parliamentarian to get those...
Do you feel the need to do that right now? Or?
No. So just
I'm
so
not having
the push
to put it out. I have one person, I mean, Peter has already said I'd like to be it. So.
Yeah, just so we can
but
address
I haven't
it,
actually
at,
put it out.
At our next meeting and then vote, because otherwise it'll be two meetings. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll be a month that we're without someone in the executive office. So I just wanted to put it on the table.
Sure.
So... If you have nominations for a parliamentarian, please get them to Andre by the next meeting so that we can
vote on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or at least
great.
Hear the candidate's statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in addition to that is for an additional person for the assembly to fill 15 seats.
Right.
So
our next meeting, is that
with
Mary?
Yeah, that's
a
staff board meeting.
Hmm?
No. No. Ari, go ahead.
But I suggest that if you goes on the, I don't have the agenda in front of me, but somewhere else on the agenda was that staff in the UA.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
UA, so.
Yep.
So we'll just have that on the agenda for next time, the vacancies.
Yeah.
we discussed the next UA meeting after the next employee summary meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So no, our next meeting is a business meeting. I don't believe it's a luncheon with Mary or there's people. Am I correct in that? It's a business meeting. Okay. All right. So 3 minutes left. Let's see. Tim's not here. Oh, Dennis. Book reading project Ezra's 200th birthday.
Yeah, I'd like to make this quick and particularly in light of your shoestring budget analysis. This idea is born, it's not actually my idea entirely, it's ideas pulled from Leon and from Dave. Leon has talked to this group about getting on board with the new student reading project. And so I borrowed some of that idea, and David stopped by my office a week or two ago and was talking about various things, including the book founder, that about the life of Ezra Cornell. And I think it was talked about here before that Ezra Cornell's birthday, his 200th birthday, is actually January 11th. And Tommy Bruce's organization is planning some sort of a birthday celebration in March.
Or April.
Or April, sometime later that year.
There may be other things going on.
Okay.
Maybe.
The thought came to me that it might be a very appropriate time for the employee assembly to organize a book reading project of Ezra Cornell's biography for staff. That staff, by and large, I think, don't know a lot about this institution, how it came to be. I have not read the book myself, but if I'm trying to get a hold of a copy of it. David, who has read it, says it's fascinating.
Yes.
It's a short reading, right?
Yeah, I do have the copy, and I would just say that this also came up in the discussion with the communications group that's working on the larger celebrations in March.
Okay.
And a lot of people there, particularly Lang Angst, who's the university archivist and is himself a best fan of Cornell, is not actually a fan of that particular book builder. But they have been tossing around also the idea of doing something around
Cornell.
Maybe even the overall book project being something around Ezra, if possible. That's not been in their heads, but I promised you a copy of the filter, and I'm
right.
Going to get that to you. It is something that I think if the employee assembly wanted to do on their own, the filter would be an explicit meeting. It's just not considered an authoritative text on Ezra.
And whatever.
it's an entertaining.
Yeah,
I've read it too. And
is it a short read?
Yeah, it's not. It's very entertaining.
But it's not historical fiction.
It's not completely objective.
Yeah.
There's some personal editing going on.
So it's a chapter or two shy of the program.
But it's not full of lies.
No, it's not. It gives you a good sense of professionalism.
I withdraw my idea. No, it was not really considered, you know, a scholarly text, but it, I think it's a great introduction for anybody who's an employee who wants to know more about who Ezra was as a person. Mm-hmm. The only other question is the film.
So, Dennis, do you have a proposal on the table for us to consider?
I will pull a proposal together for the group for next time after I get some more information about availability. Obviously, this is something, if books were involved, then we would need to partner with another group or two.
Mm-hmm.
So I will look around at additional funding partners for this to see if there were some throughout the university who were interested. I would recommend that it not just be... I didn't envision it just as this group, although this would be a great place to start. I thought this group is a way of inspiring staff throughout the university during the 200th birthday year to learn more about the historical antecedents of this group. So I will come back to you with after speaking with some more people to fully write the book.
Hopefully fully funded. Leah?
Yeah, just real quick. I've read two or three books about Ezra Cornell because when I started working here, I didn't know anything about Cornell. So in the library, they do have actually a lot of books on him, but actually they probably wouldn't be so thin, or they'd be more academic in nature, you know, more historical, factual like that. But this sounds like a great book that's sort of thin and easy to get through.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great idea.
That was a fantastic idea. That's right on what we're doing.
All right. We've made it pretty well through this agenda, surprisingly enough. So can I hear? Oh, did you have something?
Can I just make one suggestion? Is there any possibility that when we reserve this room, can we reserve it instead of till 1:30 till 1:40 or 1:45?
That's a great idea.
I hate the pressure that we have to get out of here because our meetings don't end till 1:30.
No.
My fault. I'm actually involved in the group coming in.
Yeah, but we're not blaming anybody.